The clincher is this. The strongest motivation, according to Pape, is not religion, but rather a desire to compel modern democracies to withdraw military forces from the territory the terrorists view as their homeland. Between 1995 and 2004, the Al-Qaeda years, two-thirds of all attacks came from countries where the United States had troops stationed. While Al-Qaeda terrorists are twice as likely to hail from a country with a strong Wahhabist radical Islamic presence, they are 10 times as likely to come from a country in which U.S. troops are stationed. Until the U.S. invasion in 2003, Iraq had never had a suicide terrorist attack in its entire history. Between 1982 and 1986, there were 41 suicide terrorist attacks in Lebanon. Once the U.S., France, and Israel withdrew their forces from Lebanon, there were no more attacks. The reason the attacks stopped, according to Pape, is that the Osama bin Ladens of the world can no longer inspire potential suicide terrorists, regardless of their religious beliefs. Pape is convinced, after his extensive research, that the longer and more extensive the occupation of Muslim territories, the greater the chance of more 9/11-type attacks on the United States. Although most Americans don't know it, for much of the early 20th century our country had an excellent reputation in the Middle East, the part of the world we are now told will hate us no matter what we do. Right now, after decades of meddling, our government is hated in the Middle East and around the world to a degree I have never before seen in my lifetime. That does not make us safer. To be sure, there will always be those who wish us ill, regardless of the foreign policy we adopt. But those who would recruit large numbers of their co-religionists to carry out violence against Americans find their task very difficult when they cannot point to some tangible issue that will motivate people to do so. It has bin Laden's specific list of grievances that has rallied so many to his cause. Predictably enough, Al-Qaeda recruitment has exploded since the invasion of Iraq. The war in Iraq was one of the most ill-considered, poorly planned, and just plain unnecessary military conflicts in American history, and I opposed it from the beginning. But the beginning I am speaking of was not 2002 or 2003. As early as 1997 and 1998, shortly after my return to Congress, after a dozen years back in my medical practice, I spoke out against the actions of the Clinton administration, which I believed was moving us once again toward war with Iraq. I believe the genesis of our later policy was being set at that time. Many of the same voices who then demanded that the Clinton administration attack Iraq later demanded that the Bush administration attack Iraq, exploiting the tragedy of September 11th to bring about their long-standing desire to see an American invasion of that country. Any rationale would do. Weapons of mass destruction, the wickedness of Saddam, an issue that did not seem to keep many of these policymakers up at night in the 1980s when they were supporting him. A Saddam Al-Qaeda link, whatever. As long as their Middle Eastern ambitions could be satisfied, it did not matter how the people were brought along. By any standard, constitutional, financial, national defense, I could not see the merits of the proposed invasion of Iraq. Any serious Middle East observer could have told us, if we were listening, that Iraq had essentially no connection to terrorism. At the time of the Persian Gulf War of 1991, Osama bin Laden actually offered to lead an army to defend Saudi Arabia against Saddam if necessary. Iraq had not attacked us, and figures in our own government, including Condoleezza Rice and Colin Powell, had said that Saddam was effectively contained and no threat to anyone. Saddam's was not even an Islamic regime. It was a secular one, although thanks to the war, that is now changing. Some war apologists to this day still try to argue that the weapons were really there, or that Saddam really was linked to Al-Qaeda, but I'm not sure why they bother. The administration long ago gave up these claims. In the midst of all this, it is essential not to lose sight of the moral dimension of war and the lengths to which Christian and later secular thinkers have gone over the centuries to limit and restrict the waging of war. For well over 1,000 years, there has been a doctrine and the Christian definition of what constitutes a just war. This just war tradition developed in the 4th century with Ambrose and Augustine, but grew to maturity with Thomas Aquinas and such late scholastics as Francisco Vidatoria and Francisco Suarez. The requirements for a just war vary to some extent from commentator to commentator, but those who wrote on the subject shared some basic principles. The war in Iraq did not even come close to satisfying them. First, there has to be an initial act of aggression in response to which a just war may be waged. But there was no act of aggression against the United States. We are 6,000 miles from Iraq. The phony stories we were told about unmanned drones coming to get us were, to say the least, not especially plausible. Second, diplomatic solutions had not been exhausted. They had hardly been tried.